May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the greatest gifts God gives us is the opportunity to meet new people, and in so doing, enrich our lives. Think of those special people in your life and the first time you met them. Maybe you were sitting with them today. What if you had never had a second conversation with them or taken the time and effort to get to know them, really know them and trust them? Each new person we meet is an opportunity. What we do with that opportunity is up to us. A few years ago, Mother Paula gave me such an opportunity. A man named Jim stopped by the church on his way back to the international school he worked at in Africa and said that he wanted to have a church in the States that he could connect with and visit on his trips back to California and get to know some parishioners. Given our family's time living overseas, Paula introduced Jim and me through email. We got to know each other on Facebook and later through phone conversations and his visits to St. Francis. But we really got to know each other as we simultaneously read and commented via email on a series of books. The first one we read was Marcus Borg's book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. Borg explained that ultimately, Jesus is not simply a figure of the past, but a figure of the present. Meeting that Jesus, the living Jesus who comes to us even now, will be like meeting Jesus again for the first time. As Jim and I read and emailed our thoughts about this book and our faith, not only did Jim and I get the opportunity to know each other, but we got the chance to get to know Jesus in a new and deeper way. Here at St. Francis, our theme throughout Lent will be that God is preparing a new thing. Embrace it. The operative word is new, and it is vital to know that God is the source. Over the next 5 Sundays, we will focus on something new from God, starting today with new relationship. In today's gospel reading, Mark introduces us to Jesus for the first time. This introduction is especially poignant for all of us, for the opportunity to get to know Jesus in a new, deeper, and transformative way is available to us all. For the more we get to know Jesus, we too may find ourselves meeting Jesus again for the first time. What does today's gospel tell us about Jesus and our relationship? At first glance, Mark's account of Jesus seems to be on speed dial. Mark does not mince words and makes his points clearly and quickly. However, there is a certain drama in the brevity itself. In a few short verses, Mark sets the stage for all that is to come. Our attention is focused right on Jesus and his message. This clearing away of extraneous detail and forcing our attention squarely on Jesus is a great starting point to look again our relationship with Jesus. Let's get to the basics. Who is Jesus? And what does today's gospel tell us about him? When I was 6 years old, I remember my grandfather, Pop, who was a Methodist minister and chaplain in the Navy, giving me a quarter when I finally memorized John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Pop told me this was the most important verse I could ever learn. And he prayed that I would carry it with me all the days of my life. For Jesus is the only Son of God, the only perfect image of God. And Jesus, through his life and death and resurrection, reveals to us the nature of God, which is love. And in Mark, God said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." The divine Son became human so that in him we might be adopted as children of God and be made heirs of God's kingdom. By his resurrection, Jesus overcame death and opened for us the way of eternal life. Our own Bishop John discussed the relationship we all have with Jesus when he said in his message to the diocese on Ash Wednesday that on the day of resurrection, not only are we presented with the risen Lord, but the risen Lord is presented with us, who are an offering and a sacrifice to our God, showing that we can be fully human. Through relationship with Jesus, we're able to learn how we should live our lives. In the opening verse from Mark, we learn that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. It was a relatively short trip measured in miles, but it was a monumental trip in that it emphasized Jesus' acceptance of his vocation as a teacher and preacher of the kingdom of God. He left the home and village where he grew up as a child and spent his early manhood and developed an honest trade as a carpenter. It must not have been easy to leave. Though I confess I did find myself wondering if Joseph turned to Mary and said, "Well, it took 30 years, but he's finally leaving home." Yes, I do believe our relationship with Jesus allows for a sense of humor. But the important takeaway here is that Jesus followed God's call, left the life and place he called home, and began his ministry. Though Mark doesn't provide extra details, I would imagine that Jesus' decision on when to leave home was made after he prayed and listened closely to God. We too are called to live a prayerful life and to listen to God and to go where God is leading us. A key element of our relationship with Jesus involves prayerful listening. As soon as Jesus was baptized by John, Mark tells us that the Spirit descended like a dove on him and immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Even for Mark, there is a sense of abruptness here. Jesus goes right from his baptism and God's announcement that Jesus is his Son into the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. Personally, I believe this abruptness can be understood on two levels. First, God sent Jesus into the world to bring about the defeat of sin and death, and there was no time to waste. Second, Jesus truly went from a mountaintop high to a real low. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we understand that life is full of ups and downs, of both high moments of joy and accomplishment and low moments of sorrow and fear. It is in those low wilderness moments that we must trust that, like Jesus, we are never alone. As Jesus promised in the first chapter of Acts, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus' last words comfort and empower us. "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." No matter what wilderness moments we face, the death of a loved one, a family friend, member, or your best friend since childhood. Personal or family illness, the loss of your job, an addiction, or whatever it is, Jesus' promise to never leave us lives in all of us. This promise of blessed assuredness that Jesus is always with us prepares us for Jesus' revolutionary call to Mark in the last two verses today. Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This kingdom of God, or reign, is about more than just our spiritual existence. In our relationship with Him, Jesus calls us to new understandings about what all of life is like. Family, society, political allegiances, economics, wellness, purity, and acceptability. No facet of life remains unaddressed. In short, Jesus is calling for the transformation of the world. We can do this through the unending love and power of Jesus. But make no mistake about it. This transformation will not go unchallenged. It is why those in charge of the world at the time ended up crucifying Jesus and have continued to spread evil ever since. Last Sunday, the world found out about the brutality of the actions taken against 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians in Libya. I was brought to my knees when the Archbishop of the Episcopal and Anglican Diocese of Egypt responded to this horrific act by stating, "Jesus tells us in John 16, 'In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.' Such cheer may seem impossible, but it is God's promise. Please pray for us that we may live lives worthy of His name and hold to the testimony exhibited by the brave Egyptians in Libya." Knowing and trusting that Jesus is with us, especially in death, takes our relationship with Jesus to a new and deeper level. One of my Lenten meditations cautioned that Lent can be a dangerous time. People come to the church looking for discipline and a new way to live. They come to be challenged, prepared for the heartache and joy of the cross to come. The fallacy of Lent can occur when we contain the season to 6 weeks of intentionality and introspection rather than building a Lent that becomes a life. May this season of Lent allow us to know Jesus in a new way, to invite Him to be a part of all facets of our life, to ask the same questions of ourselves that Jesus asked of His disciples, and to accept Jesus' radical touch. In these moments of truth and honesty, we pray that we may find ourselves vulnerable enough to connect with the risen Christ as never before. In so doing, as we go through life and develop a deeper and deeper relationship with God, we may find ourselves meeting Jesus for the first time again and again. May God bless us with a holy Lent. Amen.